passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And another day has arrived, a new month, and a lot happening, and we were at 68 just 2 weeks ago today. We're down to four, and what a four they are. Alabama has done it for the first time in history. That you heard me correctly. This is not an April Fool's joke. Alabama going to the Final Four in basketball. They've already been to the Final Four this year in football, but that's under Nick Saban. This is under Nate Oates, who arrived 5 years ago and has literally turned everything upside down. Rick Barnes will not make it. A man who has come so close in recent years to getting Tennessee to the promised land for the first time, loses again just short of the Final Four in an epic showdown against Purdue. And meanwhile, on Rocky Top, a lot of fans I'm hearing from are not happy about this decision by Danny White. He has fired Kelly Harper. You heard me correctly. He has fired Kelly Harper after five seasons, nearly beating South Carolina, took a last-second shot in the SEC championship game, lost to the eventual Final Four team a week ago. Kelly Harper out. These are the last couple of years, well, last maybe 45 years or 50 years under Pat Summitt. Look at her record of eight national championships. Two of her proteges, Holly Warlick, had a 720 winning percentage. That's good enough at pretty much everywhere else but Tennessee. Kelly Harper not quite getting it done, according to the bosses who made the change here today. So that's where we are. What an afternoon we have in store for you. We'll talk to the star of the Crimson Tide just a little bit later and get your reaction to everything over these last couple of days. We'll also preview tonight's epic showdown in the Women's Elite Eight between Iowa and Caitlin Clark and LSU, a rematch of last year's national championship game. Let's get to the calls and talk first to Thomas in San Jose. Hello, Thomas. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Noted Tennessee fan. Paul, was yesterday's loss for Tennessee opportunity for Rick Barnes and Tennessee to reach their Final Four this season and possibly winning their first national championship in men's basketball this season?
Well, Thomas, I think in normal circumstances I would agree because of the way things used to be, but now with the portal, things can change quickly. I mean, just look at Alabama. They were the number one team in the country last year. They were the number one seed. They failed to get out of the Sweet 16 this year, really, with very few remaining pieces of that team, including a complete wipeout on the coaching staff other than the head coach. They have done it. So Rick Barnes is still one of the best coaches in the country, so I'm not ever going to rule him out. Let's continue with more phone calls, and Andre is up next in the ATL. Hello, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call, Coach.
Thank you, Andre.
Man, you see that terrible article in the L.A. Times about the LSU women's basketball team? Come on, man. The reporter got to be better than that. These young females, these young kids, Coach. And that was just,
you know, Andre, let me offer this. I'm usually one that will defend the media because I've done that, and I understand. Right. But I would agree with you, and I agree with Kim Mulkey. That article was disgusting. And, you know, I found it inexcusable for the publication after the fact, after this thing already made print, was already in the newspaper that morning and online, for them to suddenly say, well, we need to clean this up. I mean, yeah, first of all, the LA Times is a disaster anyway. It used to be one of the best news publications in the country, but it has terrible management, it has terrible leadership, and quite frankly, it embarrassed the entire industry Saturday afternoon.
Coach, what you think about tonight? I watched the game with UCLA and LSU, and then I also watched South Carolina and Oregon State. Man, these women, they be battling out there. They shoot that ball too, Coach.
Yeah, I don't know how to handicap this one tonight, Andre. I mean, the one thing, Iowa has a tremendous advantage, at least from a revenge factor, if you play that. I do believe that LSU is probably better tested. And as we saw yesterday, it really, what happened up until this point doesn't matter. How do you handle that pressure down the stretch? I mean, we watched it. Duke was in good shape against NC State and collapsed. Tennessee, what did it take to lose that game? It took missing two shots, and suddenly the entire dimensions have changed. John is up next.
Hey, good afternoon. Weird ending to the month. Clemson became a basketball school. Kentucky became a football school. The Blue Bloods are overrated. SEC and Big Ten are working together. Now, unless this is an April Fool's joke, Clemson and Florida State joining the Big Ten.
Yeah, you know, John, I was really impressed to see Saban finally beat Dabo one more time in that game Saturday night.
Well, I just a lot happening, obviously. But let me do my quick campaign speech because I think my 15 minutes are going to come to an end this week. I like Dominic, and I think Dominic's best calls are when he's Dominic, not when his father lives vicariously through him and writes his scripts. So I'm wishing him the best, and I'll leave it at that.
Well said, and you better do more than that. The early returns are not looking good for you. Let's check in with Bash in Boulder. Hello, Bash.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call. How was your Easter weekend?
Peaceful. How about you?
Was absolutely wonderful, Paul. One of the greatest weekends I've ever had, and all of it is a big thank you to you, Paul. Today is a very historical day in the Paul Feinbaum Show for me. I told you a few years ago when you helped me get through my stressful times during the pandemic. You had, during today's date, 4 years ago, you had just taken time off the air, not voluntarily. The world had shut down. And it was April 1st, one of your first days back on the show, and you had one of my favorite guests of all time, who is by far the best WWE superstar to be a guest on the show, and also the mayor of Knox County, Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane. Do you remember anything about that interview, Paul?
We talked to him a couple of times.
Right. I believe that was the last time that you were brought on the show. And I thought today would have been a very poetic day to kind of reunion that call from 4 years ago to talk about Tennessee's almost so close contestant into the Final Four and Tennessee's head coach for the women's basketball being absolute. That did not make any sense to me, Paul.
Kelly Harper was building a program. It was this close to breaking through. I don't know. Now, I'm sure Mr. AD up there has an idea of what he wants to do. You don't fire somebody like Kelly without having a replacement already picked. But this was really surprising to me and to many others that Danny White would make this call.
Well, of course. I mean, this is the coach that is, other than Kim Mulkey, she is the only one that has – like came close to beating Dawn Staley in the regular season, was one quarter away. And then even in the SEC championship tournament, it's like, if you really, like you said, if you really think you have a candidate that can take your program to the next level, hopefully it's going to do that. Because if not, Tennessee Volunteers basketball fans, and you know them better than anybody, Paul, they're not going to accept this. They won't be as
fans. They are fiercely loyal. And listen, they probably stuck with her predecessor too long. But this one just feels like too soon.
Agreed. It kind of feels, but to me, and this is going back to being an unbiased Alabama-Auburn fan, it's like when the pandemic ended, like when Auburn fired Gus Malzahn after the season. And let me ask you, Paul, do you think looking back at that decision about three years since then, was that a smart decision by Auburn,
it? Here's the difference, Bash. Gus Malzahn had played out. It wasn't firing Gus Malzahn that was a mistake. It was hiring Brian Harsin. And
agreed.
I think they had they elevated Kevin Steele, the program would have gotten a lot better. And then if you know, after a couple of years, if you want to make a change, fine. But they just simply brought in the wrong coach. We're up against the break here. Let us tell you what we have in store for you the rest of the day, and it's going to be pretty fantastic. So many things happening. We'll talk about the big game. Holly Rowe is assigned to Caitlin Clark. She'll be on the call for this game as she was a year ago. Jesse Washington with some thoughts on how big is this game tonight? Is this another Bird versus Magic from 1979? I realize a lot of you don't know what that means. We'll explain later. Bill Conley and Mark Sears, the man of the hour in Alabama. Mark Sears, the star of the Crimson Tide, joining us later on.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back as we take your phone calls before the guests start loading up here in just a few minutes. Jeff is in Athens, Tennessee. Jeff, thank you and good afternoon.
Good afternoon and thanks for taking my call, Mr. Feinbaum.
Yes, sir.
I'm 60-year-old and I had a coach when I was 10-year-old took me and two other players up to the University of Tennessee for a football game, and I've been hooked ever since. So my question for you, Paul, would be, with your knowledge and your tenor there, who do you think there will possibly be targeting for the next coach for the women's basketball team?
Well, my guess is this, Jeff, to make a decision like this, and remember, it's been a week since Tennessee was in the NCAA tournament, so this isn't just a overnight decision. It's also interesting that I believe that as of April 1st, Kelly Harper's buyout went down considerably, so those are always things that happen, and understandably so. The speculation, this is not my opinion, this is the speculation of Tennessee people, that they'll go after Kara Lawson, who obviously a famous Tennessee player under Pat Summitt, who's done pretty well at Duke, no better than Kelly Harper, but she is a very popular person, was once on the board of trustees, I believe, at Tennessee and used to be at ESPN. I don't know that. That's traditional thinking. You have an athletic director there who hired the football coach from where he used to work. So that may fly in the eye of conventional wisdom.
Well, you know, Paul, it's hard to follow Pat Summitt. It's going to be hard for anybody to follow her. However, if someone wants to come up there, they're going to have to win. To win in tradition. And thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think the problem right now for anybody at Tennessee is you're in the most crowded neighborhood in college basketball because you have LSU and South Carolina, who are literally among the two best programs in the country. So you're trying to get into that classification. It's difficult, but I believe there's already a coach in mind. Knowing athletic directors, this is no time to start from scratch. You've had a week to think about it, to plan, and to probably get ready to execute. And when you fire somebody who's well-liked, the worst thing you can possibly do is let it stew for a couple of days. The only thing to do is to have a coach there ready by tomorrow, and that would be my best guess, without having any inside information at all. Dave is up next. Hey, Dave, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I don't normally call, but I listen to you a lot. I'm not into all of the listeners back and forth or the callers back and forth. But anyway, I want to preface by saying that I don't like to go down the road of officiating. Purdue won that game, you know, fair and square. But I'd like to ask you a question, see your thoughts on it. I noticed that when Tennessee got up by 12, I'm like, well, they're going to go back to Edie on the inside. They're going to continue to do that till you can stop it. Well, nobody's going to stop it. So then I started paying closer attention. I counted 7 times. Now, I didn't do this the whole game, where that big fella was in that lane for more than 4 seconds, not 3. And it was never called one time. He had one foul the whole time. So my question to you is, do big fellas like that have an advantage with getting away with more in what we would define as general positioning, or just the size takes over? Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Dave, a couple of things. I agree with you. I thought it was a terribly officiated game. But what you're dealing with there isn't a big person. You're dealing with the best player in the country. And I think officials, no matter what they say, are influenced by talent and by prestige. And my gut feeling is that they let him get away with a lot more than they would have let your run-of-the-mill player get away with. Thank you very much for your call. Very, very thoughtful call. And I hate to be the one to cry about officiating too, but I don't know how you couldn't have watched that game and come to the same conclusion that you did. Pembroke is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Pembroke.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
We are doing well.
Great, great. I wanted to, kind of after what Dave said, I wanted to ask you a question. And you know, it's just, I thought about it last night and as watching the game. And I thought, well, is there a height limit in the NCAA as far as how tall?
No, I mean, there have been players as tall as 7'5", 7'6". No, I don't believe there is.
Right.
And I mean, I think Edie is a tremendous player. I've never really spent a lot of time watching him, but
right.
If he could shoot free throws, he would really be dangerous.
Oh yeah, he's amazing. I wanted to give a big shout out to the University of Alabama's basketball team. I thought they did an amazing job.
No, they did, I've covered Alabama basketball from the beginning of my career, and it never seemed. I mean, there have been significantly better Alabama teams to get to the Final Four than this one. This is a good team. I don't think Alabama's ever had a coach this good, but they've had better players. Logan is up next. Hey, Logan, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how about that Crimson Tide, man? Under the overachievers this year, like you just mentioned it. Every year we've had players, we've had great players, and it seems like they've always underachieved and never made it. Out of all the teams that I've seen in the tournament, this is probably the most overachieving team that the Tide's put out there. I mean, it's pretty amazing that they made it to the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, if this team had lost in the first round, it would not have really surprised anyone based on how they played at times down the stretch.
Exactly. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I thought they weren't going to get past Grand Canyon. I had them penciled out at Grand Canyon, but I can tell you that Nate Oates, man, he's done a fantastic job. I mean, what a coach. If he doesn't win Coach of the Year, I don't know. Maybe Danny Hurley, but.
Well, and not only that, Logan, I mean, don't lose. As great as Nate Oates has been, I think the guy who deserves the most credit here for being bold was Greg Byrne, the athletic director at Alabama, for making this call when absolutely no one had ever heard of Nate Oates.
Amazing hire. I mean, that he nailed that hire. I mean, that was probably better than we'll find out about the DeBoer hire. But I mean,
it's going to be better than DeBoer. I mean, DeBoer just got through playing in the national championship game. He wasn't hard to find.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, hey, Paul, I want to talk about the caller bracket. Do you realize that I got beat by literally two votes last week?
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, I was ahead the whole time, and I got beat by two votes. So I was thinking it over, and you remember the great Andy Kaufman, right? You know Andy Kaufman, the comedian.
Yeah. I mean, Logan, let me – I'm sorry to hear that, but you can always contest it.
Oh, you can? I didn't know that.
I've seen people running for public office who never admitted they lost. You should not admit you lost.
Well, I'm calling you, and I'm trying to find four votes. Like Trump. I'm trying to see where I can find her.
I'm the wrong person. You need to call the Secretary of the show, Secretary of State,
okay.
Dan Bramlett.
I should have talked to this. But I was thinking,
you lost to Ricky, who I know for a fact bought votes.
Did he? Okay. Well, I was thinking Andy Kaufman back in the day, he had something on Saturday Night Live where he said, if I lose this, I will retire from the show. And I'm thinking that maybe that was more of a referendum on me than it was
for
Ricky.
No. Logan, let me tell everyone who's in the contest, don't take it so seriously. People are just having fun with it. I mean, don't lose a minute's sleep over the Feinbaum caller bracket, because I maintain the person who won last year didn't actually win. We will take a break. We have a long way to go. We'll talk to Mark Sears later in the show, the star of the Crimson Tide. Remember, we talked to Nate Oates last week on the way out to L.A. We'll be right back.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And on this manic Monday, we say hello to Sheila in Birmingham. Hello, Sheila.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum. Loving it. Hoop City. Yes. I love it. You got to love it, Paul, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for calling, always.
So, thank you for taking my call. Shout out to Nate Oates. Coach N-O, not going home, came back. I you know what? I ran into him, high school background, Romulus High School, Class B, back in the day, right outside of Detroit, Michigan, had to come through my school in Flint for us to get to the quarterfinals and the semis. You had to go through Romulus and Coach Nate Oates. You said, oh, nobody knew him. Hey, I knew the guy. I knew of the guy.
Well, I'm not talking about you high school wonks from Michigan. I'm talking about the general public.
Oh, yeah. They didn't know him. But they do now. They do now.
They sure do.
Also, hey, they do now. And I'm an Auburn fan. But it was hard. If I didn't know him from Michigan, I just wouldn't even make that comment. I wouldn't. But also want to remind you, shout out to Greg Byrne, Dr. Charles McClellan, Sanford's AD out of Birmingham, Martin Newton, NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, Birmingham running it, UAB, Auburn, Stanford, and now Alabama. Of course, they're in Tuscaloosa in the Final Four. So you got to love that, right?
Sheila, it's pretty remarkable when you consider all the battles in that state about getting basketball recognized.
You're right, because we're always talking what? Football. I'm really excited that the gentleman from Hoover called and people are calling about basketball because I really love talking it. I got two more for you quickly, and you know this. Looking forward to the rematch in women's basketball. Angel Reese talking much noise. Caitlin Collins saying, back it up, back it up. Hoop City on its way with the ladies in the house. Your thoughts?
I like LSU. To me, in spite of the advantage from revenge, I've watched Iowa a couple of times this year, and they have flaws, I think.
They do. They slow down. That's that Big Ten. That's that Big Ten. I'm serious. The Big Ten, they'll slow you up. You know, Izzo and those guys, they will slow you up. I'm from Michigan. They will slow it down. That's that. I love the SEC because it's a little quicker. And last thing you're going to love this. I'm about to drop a great one on you. Tip for you. You know, Darius Miles may have a chance of going home. Witness in this case was killed in a motorcycle accident. Yeah. He might be getting out. All good. Hey, all good for Alabama players all the way around. This is might be a blessing in disguise.
Sheila, it's always a pleasure. Can't wait to see you one of these days.
I'm going to see you. I'll find you, or we'll find each other. Love you, Paul.
I'm easy to find. Thanks, Sheila. Always great to hear from you. Appreciate it. Eileen up in the Bronx. Hello, Eileen.
Hey, how are you? How you guys
doing? We are
doing
great. Thank you.
So, yeah, you know, I'm real excited about NC State. You know, I go back way back when. I used to watch a lot of games at Thompson High School. Ernie Myers played for NC State. He was on the national championship team in 83. I'm happy for them just because I think, like, nobody expected them to be here, and they gritted themselves here. You know, they just grinded it out. And
you know something, Eileen, you know, the fact that NC State in the men and women's Final Four, and most of you know the geography of that part of North Carolina, but you have NC State in Raleigh, you have Duke down the road a couple of miles, and then North Carolina a few more miles down the road in Chapel Hill. And they are the stepchild, are they not? I mean, they are not treated, they're looked down on by the other two snooty schools. And I think it's just amazing that NC State, the Pack, are in the Final Four in both sports.
I think it's awesome. And I think it's also a little shout out to JMU. You know, what they've done in their athletic department. I know they're not in any Final Four, but what they've done in their first year, you know, they've just crushed it, and it's just a model for other athletic departments, as is NC State. You know, there's some kind of recipe there for success. And I'm rooting for I played at Canisius. I'm rooting for Nate Oates, former coach at UB, even though they were a rival. but I think it's all good when you see some of these guys grind in and out, right? That theme of grinding, working hard, you know, and went from UB, from cold Buffalo to the Final Four in Phoenix. I think it's awesome. And it's inspirational for other young coaches out there, male and female.
Eileen, thank you so much for the call from the Bronx, where my father grew up. How about the Bronx? Frank in Louisville, Kentucky. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Paul. First time caller, long time listener, as always.
Oh, thank you.
Wondering if you have any thoughts. I don't know if insight's the right word, but is Kara going to come home now that Kelly has been announced as departing today, or do they need to leave the past cemetery for once and take all the pressure off of the alumni base to fix it? I don't know if you have any thoughts there.
Frank, I don't know. I mean, that is absolutely the question of the hour, and I've heard from a few friends already in Knoxville, and that's the conventional wisdom. I don't know if conventional wisdom is applicable anymore at the University of Tennessee. That makes a lot of sense, but my question is this about Kara Lawson. Are you getting an upgrade from her over Kelly Harper, who's got a longer resume?
Exactly. I think it might be a splashy hire. I think Kara will have to think twice if she leaves what she's building at Duke. They're, you know, a couple of bench players away from the Final Four. I don't know that she.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that is a that's a very weird move to fire a coach who's been around a long time, has a great reputation, just hasn't quite gotten over the hump. And you bring somebody in who doesn't even have the same credentials, but maybe a newer, flashier name. I don't know the thought process of the University of Tennessee Athletic Department, but it seems like a week ago today when Tennessee went out, you've had a long time to think about it. You've had a long time to game plan. Duke went out of the tournament a couple of days ago, so you obviously had to wait for that. But hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Chris is up next. Hello, Chris. Good afternoon.
Final four, baby. Ticket punched. What do you think, Paul?
Definitely the most exciting moment in a long time. Listen, I'm not going to say anything about Alabama's road from now on. Everybody knows they are the longest shot remaining in the field, including NC State.
Oh, yeah.
But so what?
Well, hey, listen, everybody thought that we had no shot against North Carolina.
Correct.
And I'll tell you, I got to tell you, I tempted fate. My wife and I were looking at travel plans at halftime, and we booked for Phoenix.
You're there, huh?
Or for Glendale, actually, about halfway through the second half. So we didn't jinx anybody, but we're excited. We can't wait. Are you going to be out there?
Chris, by the way, for those who don't know and have not been to Glendale, that's where Alabama beat Clemson to win the national championship. It is Glendale is just right. It's from the airport in Phoenix. It's probably 25, 30 minutes from Scottsdale. It's about 45 minutes. It's not the most convenient place unless you stay at a hotel right near the arena. But it's still Phoenix in early April, which is a nice time of the year to be there. Why don't we take a break? More of your phone calls coming up at 855-242-7285. A long way to go here on this April Fool's Day. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
But we head up to the site of the Elite Eight game in just a few minutes with Holly Rowe as we talk about Iowa taking on LSU in the most eagerly anticipated basketball game of the year, according to those who cover it. Andrew is up next. Hello, Andrew.
What's going on, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, first-time caller. Thank you for taking my call, Paul. I just want to go out on a limb, brother. I want to make a bold prediction for Saturday's game. You're going to find that the Alabama men's basketball team is probably going to play the most complete defensive game of the season with everything on the line. We know how Alabama can be, especially going throughout the year. But I'm going to be honest. I think that we're going to get the most complete defensive game of the year from Alabama. Offense is there. No questions, no doubts about that. And I'm going to say that Alabama's going to take down the number one team in UConn.
Well, you're right now in a boat by yourself, but there have been bigger upsets in the history of the NCAA tournament. Upsets do occur, even at this level. Everybody's playing hot right now. You don't get to the Final Four by not running off a number of games in a row. Thank you for the call, Andrew. Appreciate it. And let's check in with Jace, who is in Georgia. Hey, Jace.
Hey, Paul. I want to talk about my dogs. Even though we're in the NIT,
okay.
We're in the semifinals tonight against Seton Hall. So I'll be watching that ball game tonight. And I was just watching the Braves game against the White Sox in Chicago, and I think you have more callers on that come in every day than they have fans in the stands right now.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the weather. I doubt the weather in early April is very good in Chicago.
Yeah. So anyway,
well, thanks for the call. Mike White's done a really nice job, I think, of turning that Georgia basketball program around. It needed some stability, and he's an excellent coach. People can say whatever you want about the NIT, but it does give you a lot of practice. It gives you a lot of experience in big pressurized situations, and it can help you launch your program up. And you'll also be seen by a couple of million people tonight, and when there's really no other college sports, tomorrow night, I should say, when there's no other college sports going on. Let's check in with Hugh, who is in Georgia. Hey, Hugh, go right ahead.
Hey, is this Paul Feinbaum?
It is.
Hey, how you doing? You're an important guy. You're hard to get a hold of.
Well, I don't know about important, but
your line's always busy, but I'm glad to get a hold of you. Hey, I'm a Tennessee guy. I'm over in Georgia, just outside Chattanooga. You know, did Rick Barnes say anything about the officiating of that game between UT and Purdue?
Well, he avoided it for the most part.
You don't want to cry sour grace, but it looked like to me and my son that big old center may have violated the three-second rule a few times.
I think you're right. And my argument will be that the better player you are, the more calls you're going to get. And Zach Edey's the best player in the game, and I'm willing to bet.
Yeah, but I don't think he
got away with murder.
He may have had one foul called on him.
And anything, if a Tennessee player got within a foot of him, they called the foul. Thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. You take care of yourself. Brad is in Destin. Good afternoon, Brad.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
I was going to ask you, you know Greg Byrne pretty well, don't you?
Sure.
How would you rate him one of the tops in the country right now with the different hires that he has made in the past 5 years? I mean, he has gone way outside the box. You know, when it came time to get a basketball coach after Avery Johnson, he goes to Buffalo, New York, not in the South at all. And then, of course, you know, what is it, 11 years ago, he was coaching at Romulus High School in Detroit.
Brad, I would argue that today Greg Byrne is the best athletic director in the country. And it's not about one hire. It's about a combination of hires, not only how he's handled the good times, but in the moment of crisis a year ago with Bohannon and the baseball program, he was transparent. Other athletic directors would have tried to obfuscate. He did not. And I think dealing with the Saban retirement in the way he did, saying little but acting a lot, and then bringing in DeBoer, I don't think anybody has a better athletic director than he does, than Alabama does right now.
I'm in total agreement with you. And like with the baseball program, he goes and gets Rob Vaughn from Maryland.
Right.
I mean, he didn't stay in the Southeast or whatever, and then he goes and gets DeBoer. If you had to do just a quick concern about your biggest concerns about DeBoer coming in, is it based on the fact that he's never been in the Southeast? Would that be
Brad, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, and I don't even know if it's DeBoer per se, but I think it's the cultural transformation that his entire family and coaching staff will have to go through. And,
yes.
I mean, there's going to be that day sometime this fall, sometime whenever, and things are going terribly, and you know what I'm talking about, where his wife or his daughter or one of his friends or one of his coaches either read something, hear something, inadvertently turn into this program while somebody's ranting and raving, and they're going to go, what have we gotten ourselves into?
That's right. Well, the question I've had with some of my friends, coaching friends and all that, it's almost like, if not DeBoer, tell me who. You know, tell me who you would have brought in that would not
Brad,
have
you,
bad
you dealt with it a long time ago, and everything that your boss went through wasn't good enough because of the way it used to be, and we're back to the same place now.
That's exactly right. You know, and with, you know, of course, for the listeners, I work with Ray Perkins, and whatever Ray did was not good enough. And, you know,
and by the way, Brad, whatever Ray did, quite frankly, wasn't good enough because of the way he did it. Not who he was. He was a great football coach, but he, instead of acting like we wanted him to act, he said, I'm my own man, and he turned everybody off.
And I will praise DeBoer for the way he's handled Saban, you know, and the former players, former coaches.
I agree. Brad, we're at the end of the break, but, I mean, you really hardly hear about DeBoer other than from a coaching standpoint, which is very good. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.